but there is something to it. And maybe we'll try to get into some of that today. Well, the first thing I wanted to answer is this. We talked a little bit last week about levels of reward in heaven. Are some people going to get a better reward than others? Is it going to be unilateral? Is it going to be just real? Is it just going to be like everybody gets kind of the same thing? So I want to point you to a couple of passages. One is, and it's the same one. Some of you get Matthew 25. Some of you get Luke 19. It's the same parable. It's the same story that Jesus gives. And for those of you who don't want to get either of those, get Matthew 20, okay? Three passages that kind of indicate, well, in fact, Jesus starts off by saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so, what is the kingdom of heaven, which is like this? Well, you got three different stories, but actually two different stories, because the Matthew, and first Matthew one and the Luke one have to do with the exact same story. So it's the parable of the talents. So do y'all, what happens in the parable of the talents? What are talents? Okay, units of money. Luke calls it M-I-N-A-S, minus, minus. And so the first guy gets how many talents? Five, okay. The second guy gets how many? My hand shows you right here. Those are the answers. You can tell. And then the other guy gets, all right. So it's all going well because the master leaves the country, and he basically leaves with the expectation that these servants will go out and invest and use those monies to make him some money. So time passes. We come back, and so what has happened to the five-talent man? How many has he got? He's got 10. And so the two-talent guy has five, right? He's earned, okay? He's gone out and used and earned those. The one-talent guy has one, okay? All right, so there we are, the one-talent guy. The two-talent guy, the five-talent guy. But Jesus is happy and pleased with the first two servants, right? Because they went out and invested and worked that money and were productive and careful with that money, and they were able to make money for the servant, for the father, for the master. But the end of the passage is this, verse 29. I'm in Matthew. But it's also in verse 26 in the Luke passage, if you've got it. So what does it say? Somebody read that out loud. To whom?
All right. I win.
Good, Mark.
This is Luke. Said he replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.
Okay. All right. So the master has taken the five-talent guy, made 10 talents. And he tells him, you're going to be reigning over 10 cities. Where would that be? He's telling the five-talent guy that has a five-talent, you're going to reign over five cities. Where are those cities?
It's a trick question.
It is not a trick question.
Test question.
They get the reward in that they're going to reign over 10 cities, the guy who made the most, five cities, the guy who's made the middle, and the one talent guy doesn't make it, you know, he's not there. Those cities, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over little. And then he said, I'm going to give you 10 cities to reign over. Well, that tends to be the thought that this is a parable about the kingdom, that this well-done citizen who made the money is going to have greater responsibility in the kingdom. He's going to have cities to reign over. And remember last week when we were looking a little bit at Isaiah 40, we talked about, you know, there's going to be government. Well, who's going to work that government? Who's going to be have those positions in the government? It's going to be a monarchy. Well, those who enter the kingdom are going to have positions of government, of responsibility. And so you may be one of those people who's going to be a ruler over one or more cities, because there are going to be cities and so forth scattered out around the entire new earth, not just in the city of Jerusalem. And so that's how we're going to occupy our time. We're not going to be sitting off in the corner singing Kumbaya for eternity, right? Okay, now, the third passage, Matthew 20. This is a different passage, all right? Okay, Matthew 20, 1 through 10. Sorry. Matthew 20, 1 through 10. Because these servants, well, first of all, this master is giving is looking for work. So he goes out and he needs laborers for his vineyard. So early in the morning, he packs up some laborers. They come and start working the vineyard. They've agreed to pay the laborers about a denarius, which is a day's labor, sends them out and starts to work. You know, about 9 o'clock in the morning, he goes out and says, well, we've got to have some more help out here. And he hires some more people. And they go to the vineyard, and they start working. And then later on, even down to the 11th hour, the last hour of the workday, he goes out and gets another batch of workers to work the vineyard, okay? So then, the end of the day comes, it's payday, okay? It's time for the reward for the paying for the labor. And so verse 9, when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now what did the ones who came early in the morning agree to? Same place, same money, same denarius. Well, wouldn't you be unhappy if you've been working all day long and the guys who have been working only a short time and you get the same pay that they did? Not fun, not fair. But Jesus says, what belongs to you, did you not agree for the denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. And he says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The beginning of the parable, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like, okay? The last being first, the first will be last. That seems to indicate that those who've died last will be heard first, perhaps. I don't know. This may not be a passage about eternity. But in this situation, everybody gets the same thing. In these other situations, they did not get the same thing. Okay? They got better rewards, right? So, let's talk one more story. Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler? Young man, rich, comes to Jesus and said, I've done all these laws and all this good stuff in my life. What else do I lack? And Jesus says, go out and what? Sell everything you got and give it to the poor. All right? And Jesus says, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have what? Verse 20. Treasure where? In heaven. So, it seems to indicate, and okay, one of these passages talks about everybody getting everything equal. In my study, there are a lot more passages that seem to indicate that some people are going to get a greater reward because of greater service, greater gifts, greater whatever in their lives. They've worked harder in the kingdom, or maybe they've sacrificed more, or they've lost more. I don't know what all the criterion will be, but it seems to me that the economy of God indicates just by the stories here that there will be some people who will have a greater reward. Which one are we? Which one are you? And really, does it matter to you? Jesus says in Revelation 22, 12, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. So it seems to indicate in passages throughout that according to what you've done can be measured, and some have done more. Okay? Well, I think I said this 2 weeks ago. I will take me an outhouse in heaven rather than what else there is to be out there. Well, that...
It sounds like everybody's going to get the same percentage, 100-fold. Like Matthew 19:29 says... He tells the apostles they're going to sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in 29, it says, and everyone who's left houses, brothers, y'all know, and it says, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. So Paul will receive his 100-fold, which would be a lot more than my 100-fold. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a
yeah.
percentage.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the same. I don't need that guy. So it's the same thing as me working, and these younger workers come in, and they're making what I'm making, but I put all these years in, and you look at them thinking, why are you making what I'm making, and I've already been, I should be awarded more, which I'm not, because I agreed to this, what I'm going to do. But I don't think our salvation is based on our works, because I can't work enough to earn it.
Yeah. Yes, Mark.
I've always looked at that as the, I guess the, not only are we basing it on work, we're basing it on time too. Like, how long have I been faithful? Yeah, I was faithful for 30 years, but I look at the thief on the cross.
Because some people have greater hardships. Muriel, what are your thoughts here?
I feel like the talent parable, if you look at it instead of talent being money, but talent being talent, and I think I've always kind of translated it that way, God has given us all things to do. He has given us the ability to do the things He's given us to do. He has a plan for us. We all have different plans, and we all have different levels of things that we are capable of doing.
A particular set of skills.
So I don't know. I don't know that levels in heaven really are reflective. I don't think they're reflective of our work, like, at all. I agree with Mr. Robertson. It's just, I feel like it's a matter of, did we do the things that God gave us to do? Did we squander our talents? I tell kids all the time at school, don't squander your time or my time or your talents. Just, I think God has a plan for us and things mm-hmm. we're supposed to do. And yours and mine are totally different. Everybody's is totally different from everybody else's. That's why we're all individuals. And I feel like we'll be judged by God on what we were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there is where the individual situation comes in. One more comment here, Sean.
On the part where it's talking about how that the workers were working at different times of the day and they all received the same reward,
yep.
I always look at that parable as the reward of the salvation, that we're all, you know, no matter when you come to Christ, you're getting the same reward. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's contextually the same as the talking about how you use your talents, because you go to Hebrews 11, 35, the women received back their dead, raised to life again, and there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. So I think there's absolutely verses that talk about the reward being different, but I think that the part where we're talking about the, you know, the one that came in the morning, the one that came in the evening, is talking about the gift of salvation, not
yeah.
what you're going to get when you come to heaven.
Does
that
thought.
Make sense?
Yes.
I think there are two different messages there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Awesome. Very good. Well, I'm going to move on to a couple of other quick things before we draw a conclusion here. Will we still be male and female? How many of you agree that we, in heaven, will still be the same gender that we are right now?
I mean, it says we won't be married, so I don't think there's maybe any use
topic.
For that, right?
Yeah. You won't have any use for that. So Jesus is resurrected. He's standing by the tomb, and there's Mary, okay? Mary doesn't quite look at him, and he says, who are you looking for? And she's thinking she's talking to the gardener, okay? And then she looks over, and she addresses him as sir. That's Jesus. Would you address a male as sir? Of course. Yes. So just, you know, 2 weeks ago we were looking at Jesus' resurrected body as kind of a model of what our resurrected body may be. And it seems to indicate that Jesus still has the same gender that he always had. And so quickly, just the quick conclusion to that is, if Jesus was that same gender and we're the same gender, we're going to be that same gender in heaven. But will we be married? What did he say to the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection? Jesus made a point to the Sadducees that we're going to have, you know, they're asking the question, the woman marries these seven men in heaven, whose husband is she, you know, which one's the, whose wife, you know, is there, how are you going to settle who's married to whom in the resurrection? And so Jesus says, okay, doesn't matter because you're going to be like the angels, okay? Well, so do the angels have gender? You know, Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, they seem to have gender. But it doesn't mean that they're married. I think Jesus was saying to them and saying in this story here, in the resurrection that they neither marry nor are given in marriage but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection, you know, we are all going to be resurrected. But the whole idea is that angels are not married, are not given in marriage, and people are not either. And so go back to our esteemed teacher that we really love to have teach, who can really teach, not me. And there is Uncle Horace is in the casket, and Eleanor Jean is standing there over the casket, and Uncle Horace has his gray pinstripe suit on that he hadn't worn since his oldest daughter got married. And so he didn't look right because he didn't have his overalls on. But anyway, Eleanor Jean had him dressed up in the pinstripe suit, and she says, when, you know, and, her, and these people coming up to her, and she says, I'm going to be with him again in heaven. Really? Poor Eleanor Jean. Well, if there's not marriage in heaven, how are we going to be together? I don't know, and the Bible ain't clear on it, okay? Bottom line. But it seems to me this way. If we are restored in heaven and we find our spouse with whom we have spent all these years, have all these memories and all this history with, and we decide we want to live together, do you think God would be okay with that? You know, since there is gender, we don't know if there's going to be sex. You know, there's all kinds of issues with regard to sex itself. We don't really know. But the whole idea is maybe in heaven we can choose whether to live together or not. Eleanor Jean can decide when she gets there. So, this is kind of the end of it all. I got lots more stuff here. A couple of points I want to make here. We should not want to go to heaven just because we want to avoid hell. I mean, avoiding hell is pretty good motivation, naturally. But there's a whole lot more reason that we should want to go to heaven than just trying to avoid hell. That makes heaven more of a consolation prize in my mind. Acts 3:21 teaches us that Jesus must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago and through his holy prophets. And then he says in Romans 8, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's what I'm waiting for. We have been longing for this. History of mankind has been longing for this. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. It's going to be a life that's fulfilled. It's going to be without sin and without the hardship of thorns in the garden and the gossips in the other cubicle next to you. It's going to be wonderful in that we can be productive and that we can live in harmony with one another and finally get to work without any mess, without any crud going on with us. I think that would be great. We sang this song this morning. You think about Jesus and the city of God, Jerusalem, coming down on the earth, and God seated at the throne. Won't that be incredible? Won't that be wonderful? Behold our God seated on the throne. Come, let us adore him. That's what we will do through our life, through our work, through our existence in eternity forever. I'm in. Are you? Thank you. Okay.
Bill. I just feel the voice about Joey's shoes.
That's sad. That's sad for Madison. Announcements? Just announcements. Anything that we missed that we need to get? Anything coming up? I know we've got a cappella coming up, March 10th, I believe.
There is a Bible reading marathon at the Nashville Capitol the week after Sumner's spring break. I think it starts like on that Saturday, and you read the Bible for like 15 minutes. You do have to go to the Capitol. And right now, I think there are 90 of 360 slots. They're reading the Bible, Genesis and Revelation. 90 of 360 slots that are filled, which means that they will possibly cancel it. So,
oh, wow. So 15-minute increments at the Capitol, reading the Bible,
18th,
March 18th, 19th. I mean, is it
24/7
for how long?
4 days.
4 days? Okay. Okay. So you can sign up for a 15-minute slot to read and make sure that the torch continues to get carried. Okay. Good. Excellent. If you wouldn't mind sending an email out, that would be great. All right, any other announcements, anything like that, anybody has? What about prayer requests? I've got a list of some things in the past, but if most everybody's here, can either give us an update or new information, new prayer requests. Don't be bashful. Okay. Rosie in Puerto Rico. All right, anybody else? I want you to know I'm getting better at this. Sean actually read my list last week, I think, so sort of. Somewhat. If you look at it, I see a couple of things. I see the word Darlene down here. Yeah. I mean, it's good. Well, look, I'm writing with this on a podium while I'm talking. It's. That's right. That's right. All right. Kelly, where? Oh, she's the elementary teacher? Help me with the handwriting. Okay. Yeah. All right. Anybody else? I'm looking over a couple of things down here. All right. I've asked Larry Souter if he would say the prayer. I do want to say, though, too, I know we didn't get mics on some people today. Remember that we are recording class, so if you don't get to use the mic, then I know my voice will go over and we're not recording it, but if we don't use the mic, it doesn't get recorded. So if somebody does go back and listen to the lesson, there's going to be a question that's answered or asked or a comment that's made, and there'll be just dead space. There'll be just dead space on the recording. So it'll be Bill up here talking, and all of a sudden it's and then Bill will start talking again. So anyway, and I do have, did we get your birthday last week?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I wasn't here. I saw it on my list. I wasn't here. I wanted to make sure because we don't like to get missed birthday singing. Larry, if you would. Stories of Amazing Grace, yeah, and Brandon Adams and Chris Neighbors did it last month, and of course there was some he had to get skipped and come back because of, I think, weather or something. But anyway, Brandon Adams is going to be coming up here and doing that. Is it next week? That's right. It is this week. It's next month, which is this week. So some encouragement for him as well. All right, Larry.
Let's pray. Father, we come to your throne this morning praising you. We think of your greatness. We think of your great love for us. We think of your sending your son to die for us. It's just so hard to comprehend how powerful you are and how much love that you have for us, and we're so thankful for that. There's so much going on in the world that we pray that it will draw your attention. There's an earthquake in Syria and Turkey. So many people have died. So many people are suffering. So many people are grieving. We pray for your help in that situation. There's a war that continues in Ukraine. People are suffering. Buildings are being destroyed. Lives are being torn apart. We pray for peace. We don't know how or when that will be accomplished, but we pray that for your intervention in that situation. We pray for those suffering from natural disasters in this country, tornadoes and floods. So many things take place and tear people's lives apart and tear their homes apart. And we just pray for your help. There are people who are sick, physically sick. The Bible says we can pray for the sick and that you will answer that prayer. Sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a yes. We claim the yes when we pray for those who are at home, who are suffering, who have lost loved ones. We pray for missionaries around the world. We pray for those in Puerto Rico. Be with them, Father. Be with us as we strive to follow in the steps of your Son, Jesus. We struggle day to day to try to do that, but we keep after it, and we just pray that you will always be with us and draw us close to you. This is our prayer through your Son. Amen.
Hey, Bill. Bill, how are we doing on teachers in lined up? Okay. If anybody does want to speak or knows somebody that might want to speak, definitely see some of us, either me, Bill, Sean, Lynn, Jimmy, and we'll try to get that lined up. Have a great week. Oh, and if you do want to, that's right. Have a great week. Have a great week. By all means.